Let's head straight to the Leveson inquiry, which has been hearing from Piers Morgan. Our correspondent Peter Hunt has been watching it all. Peter.
Well, Piers Stefan Pugh Morgan, to give the former tabloid editor turned TV chat show host his full name, knew he'd face close questioning about things he said in the past about phone hacking and other dark arts. Indeed, at one stage, he had to be reminded by Lord Justice Leveson that he was there to answer the questions rather than to enter into a debate. And the questions were put to him by counsel to the inquiry, Robert Jay.
Do you recall an interview in 2007 with the Press Gazette, in which you said, and I quote, "As for Clive Goodman, I feel a lot of sympathy for a man who has been the convenient fall guy for an investigative practice that everyone knows was going on at almost every paper in Fleet Street for years."
Yes.
Why did you say that?
Well, that was a rumour mill at the time. I mean, it was exploding around Fleet Street. I wasn't there. I hadn't been there for 3 years, but everyone you talked to said that he was being made a scapegoat. This was a widely prevalent thing. So certainly it was wider, apparently, than just Clive Goodman. But I'm not going to get into rumour-mongering because that's not really the point of this inquiry, I don't think.
But were you rumour-mongering when you had the interview with the Press Gazette in 2007, or were you speaking from your own experience?
No, I was just passing on rumours that I'd heard.
Was this a practice which was taking place within the Daily Mirror before 2004?
I do not believe so, no.
You don't believe so, or you're sure?
I don't believe so. To the best of my recollection, I do not believe so.
Well, Peter
the
Hunt,
youngest,
Peter Hunt, sorry, we just lost you there for a moment, Peter, but we heard the end of that first part of Piers Morgan's evidence, so do continue.
Yeah, sorry, there was a slight breakdown there. The youngest ever tabloid editor, he took the helm of the News of the World at the age of 28, said in a statement that ethical considerations were woven into his work. He was the editor of the Daily Mirror for 10 years. Mr Morgan first became aware of phone hacking in 2001 when someone told him his phone could have been targeted. But more than once he insisted, as we were hearing, that his knowledge of the practice came from the rumour mill of Fleet Street rather than hard knowledge.
That was my concern when the person who I can't remember said to me that they may be hacking your phones. And I was like, what is that? And they told me. I've been told people were doing it to me through my DTI investigation, which I know you may want to refer to later. But I've got no specifics and I've got no proof or evidence of that.
But then you say, and no, I didn't like it, which suggests to the objective reader that you knew far more about who was doing it to you than you are telling us now, Mr. Morgan. Could you assist us, please?
Well, I didn't like the thought of it if it was true. I have actually no hard evidence that it was true, but I didn't like the idea of it. And it certainly made sense to me because so much stuff was leaking at the time.
Did the rumour mill you're referring to embrace your newspaper as being amongst the perpetrators?
Not that I remember, no.
Oh, come on, Mr. Morgan. Your newspaper was near the top of the list, wasn't it?
Top of the list of what?
Of the perpetrators, those who were carrying out this sort of practice. And you well know that.
Well, you also well know that not a single person has made any formal or legal complaint against the Daily Mirror for phone hacking. Not one.
In 2006, Piers Morgan wrote in the Daily Mail about how he had been played a tape of a message Sir Paul McCartney had left on the mobile of his then-girlfriend Heather Mills. They'd had a tiff, according to Mr Morgan's newspaper account. Heather had fled to India, and Sir Paul sang We Can Work It Out into the answer phone as he pleaded with her to return. 5 years later, in court via a video link from America, Mr Morgan was asked if he'd listened to recordings which had been illegally obtained. He replied, "I do not believe so." Robert Jay continued as his inquisitor.
It was a tape of a voicemail message, wasn't it?
Well, I'm not going to discuss where I heard it or who played it to me for the reasons I've discussed. I don't think it's right. And in fact, the inquiry has already stated to me you don't expect me to identify sources.
No, but I think we do expect you to identify. What is obvious to anyone reading this is that you listened to a tape of a voicemail message. Is that correct?
I listened to a tape of a message, yes.
But it was a voicemail message, wasn't it?
I believed it was, yes.
Did you know that that was unethical?
Not unethical, no.
Why not?
It doesn't necessarily follow that listening to somebody speaking to somebody else is unethical.
But on the tape of a voicemail message, you didn't think that was unethical?
Well, it depends on the circumstances in which you're listening to it. Hmm.
But can you tell us something about the circumstances which might lead us to think that it was not unethical?
I'm afraid I can't, no, because I'm not going to do anything that may identify the source.
Without identifying your source, the only person who would lawfully be able to listen to the message is the lady in question or somebody authorised on her behalf to listen to it. Isn't that right?
Possibly.
Well?
Well, I mean, I can't go into the details of this without compromising a source, and I'm not going to do that.
Well, I am perfectly happy to call Lady McCartney to give evidence as to whether she authorised you to listen to her voicemails. She didn't, she may say she did, in which case you're not compromising anybody. But if she didn't, then we can proceed on the premise that it's somebody else, can't we?
Well, what we know for a fact about Lady Heather Mills McCartney is that in their divorce case, Paul McCartney stated as a fact that she had recorded their conversations and given them to the media.
Well, maybe I'll do that then.
Piers Morgan was then asked about the TV celebrity Ulrika Johnson, who had a relationship with the former England manager Sven-Göran Eriksson.
Can I tell you, put to you rather, as generally as I can, the circumstances in which I suggest that you did listen to Ulrika Johnson's voicemail, that a competitor of yours had hacked into her voicemail. Obviously, I'm not going to go into the details of that. There was then boasting about it in a pub, and then someone told someone close to you, who let it be known to you that this is what happened, and then you decided that in other words, the Mirror, better hack into Ulrika Johansson's voicemail as well, and that is precisely what happened.
Absolute nonsense, as far as I'm concerned.
None of that is true, is that right?
No, I've had a detail in my book how I was simply told we've had a tip that Ulrika Johnson's having an affair with Sven-Göran Eriksson, and I rang Ulrika's agent, who I knew very well. She spoke to Ulrika and she came back and confirmed it.
While we've been on air, Piers Morgan has just finished giving evidence, and at the end he said, talking about his appearance, it's like a rock star back catalogue of his worst ever hits, and he went on to say, there's a lot of what I did that I am very proud of.
Peter Hunt, thanks very much indeed. Now, coming up to 5:15, Peter Donaldson with the PM headlines.
Well, as we've been hearing, the former newspaper editor Piers Morgan has told the Leveson Inquiry that he was not aware of any phone hacking while he was in charge of the Daily Mirror. He said he was never involved in the use of private investigators.